Welcome to the Volunteer Youth Worker Podcast. Youth ministries rise and fall on the volunteers, so we are here to encourage and equip you. Join the conversation as we tackle the practical questions you are asking so you can help the next generation know Jesus.
Everyone, welcome back to the Volunteer Youth Worker Podcast. I am joined by Jason. And listen, Jason, this is super, super fun for me because we've been talking and doing youth ministry and talking about youth ministry together for years, it seems at this point.
Years.
We're both, a lot of times in the podcast, we have folks from other parts of our country, but we're actually both in the same province of Canada even.
Yes, we are.
In New Brunswick. And so for anybody listening outside of Canada, New Brunswick is the eastern part of our country, just north of Maine. But man, I'm so excited to talk about this particular question with you, the unique challenges of youth ministry in liturgical churches. So yes. Jason, fill people in. You are a part and have been a part. How long have you been a part of liturgical churches?
Well, I grew up as in what we call a cradle Anglican. I grew up in the Anglican church. I have a deep history. My family has deep history. My grandfather was a lay reader for over 50 years. I have a great uncle who was the Bishop of Fredericton, which covers the whole province of New Brunswick. And my grandmother was an organist in the church, and I've been a youth minister for almost 20 years now. So it's been a deep-rooted in my family for years. I kind of grew up in the church, Sunday school. I kind of went to a high Anglican church, which kind of is very close to Catholic a little bit. We had the incense and the bells and the prayers. But I got confirmed when I was about 13. The Anglican church is a little bit different that way, where you get baptized as a child.
Yeah.
And then when you become of age, about 12, 13, 14, you can become, do confirmation. My uncle,
confirmation is like an affirmation of your faith.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. My great uncle was
this is interesting. I want to make sure people catch this. So, yeah. High Anglican church, different than the Anglican church that you're attending now. Is that correct?
It is, yes. I kind of attend a low Anglican, easygoing church. That's where kind of most of them are.
Now, we've used the word, just to explain for people, we've used the word liturgical at the start, talking about the idea of liturgy, the idea that there's perhaps more tradition in these contexts. So you had one that was connected maybe more so to some of the Catholic traditions. We've got people who are Catholics that are listening, so that's so fun.
Yes.
And why I'm so excited for this conversation is there's a lot of folks listening that are from less liturgical churches, which means that maybe, when you show up on a Sunday, it feels less routine maybe. Although the funny part about this conversation is that there are so many traditions, even in the most charismatic, Pentecostal or Baptist or Wesleyan circuits or whatever other church tradition you might be in. But often we do try to create this segmentation, or at least explain that there are some denominations, Anglican being one of them, that there is perhaps this longer tradition of routine in your Sunday morning experiences and the way that faith is expressed. Catholic would be a part of that. Maybe sometimes United. There are other denominations, depending on Lutheran perhaps, and then certainly others that it feels like there's a little bit more tradition. Would that be an okay way to explain it? I'm explaining it.
The Anglican has three pillars of what we kind of call it. It's tradition, scripture, and prayer, and it's just a different way that we worship. There's no different, it's the same God. It's the same, stories. It's just, we do it in a different way. We worship in a different way. And that's one thing I like about being a Christian, where I've gone to Baptist churches. I've gone to Catholic churches. I've gone to different services and just kind of, some of them are like, wow, this is really cool. And some are like, well, this is not my scene. So it's just a different style, just like we all like different types of food and different ways, different shows, and just how to do different ways, to do different things differently. So I think with church, with being a Christian and having different denominations, you have that option. It's not just one, you're not stuck in one group. You can go around and kind of church shop in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And then maybe just give people, since you've grown up in this and you've got so much history in it, what are a couple of things, like if somebody came to experience your church or even a high Anglican church, what would be some of the different things that, you know, might surprise them if they were coming from a faith tradition that is less liturgical? What would be some of the differences?
Well, ups and downs. You can stand up and sitting down. Yeah, there's a few of them. My church, we have two different services. We have a traditional service which uses the BECP, which is a Book of Common Prayer. And that's more of the older generation that prefer that. But there's some people that they do enjoy that, like, kind of traditional prayer and structure.
Yeah.
We use the BAS, which is the Book of Alternative Services. And this is just, the wording is much, I would say, newer or updated. And one thing with my service, we have a praise band. So it's not, we don't have hymns like with an organ, which we do have for our traditional, but for our family main service, it's a praise band. And we have, we use songs that are current, like a lot of Rain Collective, Matt Redman, songs like that that we use to worship. So we're not stuck in a old hymn choir type of service. And I think that might be a surprise for some people.
Sure. But then there are still like tradition things. Like, do you still do the communion every week?
Yeah, we do have communion every week. We would have like the service is structured, like it's the same every week, but sometimes having structure and knowing what's going to come up and knowing the prayers, you can get having a structure and knowing what's going to be come up every service, it can deepen your faith as well, I find, because you can, even though it may be monotonous at times where it's the same thing over and over, but sometimes knowing what the prayer is, or you can get something different every week. Like we do the Lord's Prayer every week. Sometimes I will go with my son and he'll just rat it right off. And then if we slow down a minute, and maybe there's something in there that God will speak to us through it, or through a different prayer that's used every week. So I find sometimes with those services, it just kind of roots you down. It gives you some type of, I think structure would be the right word.
Yeah. And then if I went to different Anglican churches on the same day, would they all be doing similar style?
Yeah. Yes. The readings would be similar. Mm-hmm. Like my service, we cut one reading every week, just to make service shorter. Other ones use all the readings, the Psalms or the, sorry, not the Psalms, but the hymns or the songs will be different depending on what churches they have. They have a choir, if they have a praise band, or if they don't even have any music either. You would have the same flair to it.
Yeah. Yeah. Fascinating. Okay, cool. So you grew up in this experience, and this has been like your history, and now you've been serving as a youth worker for nearly 20 years in this one context. Is that fair? That's right, correct?
Yeah. So, as I was saying, being in the Anglican Church has not been my full history. Like when I was confirmed at 13, my great uncle was the bishop. He was retired, so my brother and I got confirmed. After that, I gave up church because I find church was boring. I didn't like the High Anglican. This wasn't relevant to me.
Right.
I believed in God, but I did not know what Christian was. I didn't have a youth group growing up. Mm. My churches were older. Mm-hmm. Like there was very little youth or kids in church. So I kind of gave up about 5 years. I went to Easter and Christmas. That was it. And it wasn't until I met my wife when I was 18. And she went to church in Grand Bay, which is where my church is. I live in St. John, just Grand Bay is just outside of it. I started going with her, and it was like, whoa, this is completely different. Mm. Like there was a praise band. There was, the wording was different. The community, like it was a younger church. Like there was all generations there. And I'm thinking, well, okay, I slowly get back into it. Then I got asked, would you like to teach Sunday school? I'm going, what? Like I was reading the stories the day before I was teaching it. Like, and I was relearning the stories, and then it just kind of snowballed there. And I started like youth ministry in 2004. Mm-hmm. Now, yeah, it's 20 years later. I was asked with my wife from our minister to start a junior youth group. Mm-hmm. After we got married in 2009, and that's called Kingdom Come. And we started that, and 15 years next year, we're still going strong. I have a K to 5 group, and I also do the middle school, high school. Even though I've been doing youth ministry, I'm a volunteer youth minister. Mm-hmm. I'm not paid for this. There was a paid position we had for our senior group for years. And then the last person left and I said, I'm doing this. I've been doing this job, but I'm still not paid, which is fine. I'm not doing it for the money. And so I've been the official youth minister for 2 years, but I've been doing youth ministry for 20. Mm-hmm. And I've done everything. Mm-hmm. So being rooted in that, and in the middle of that, I was the church ministry assistant for mm-hmm. 7 years at my church. Mm-hmm. So I was working behind the scenes, and that's where I grew my faith exponentially, because I'm a history guy. Mm-hmm. And I like to know the history of why we use these prayers or why we do it this way. And I learned that during my time as the minister, because I was getting things organized and going, well, why do we do it this way? And then I find out why. It's like, oh, okay, this makes sense. Mm-hmm. And my faith, I found, grew over these 20 years. I'm now a Christian. I'm now a follower of Christ. And I am now that role model for my youth that I never had. Mm-hmm. And it's because I kind of grew myself and thinking, well, I want to share this to the next generation. Mm-hmm. And I love every minute of it.
So talk to me about then when you're connecting with students, because in a lot of ways we think about students as youth workers, you know, people that are listening, you know, we might feel like, they're so tied into, you know, their technology and our current culture. And so, you know, we're always trying to find inroads to be able to build bridges to our students. It would seem perhaps to some on the outside that because your Sunday morning, your church experience is a little bit more traditional, it is a little bit more liturgical, that would feel like it's a big barrier for students wanting to become a part of this faith. But has that been your experience, or what is it like when you're actually working with your ministry?
My youth group does not kind of follow the structure of Sunday morning.
So when you do youth group with your students, you're not necessarily doing Book of Common Prayer readings and that sort of stuff.
No. I find that sometimes youth don't always appreciate that. And we don't mimic a Sunday morning on our Tuesday night youth group. We have games, we do highs and lows. We have a small talk and we try to relate it to the everyday for both my groups, for the K to 5 and the middle school, high school. So it's a nice, easy flow going, because half my group is from the community and half mm-hmm. my group is from the church. Mm-hmm. So if I have a strict Sunday morning youth group style, I don't think I would have as many kids I have. And I have, between both groups, I have over an average of about 20 to 30 every week.
Okay, so it's a typical youth ministry experience. You know,
it's a typical youth ministry experience, and then I try to bring in the Anglican when they are ready to be confirmed, because I teach the confirmation now. Mm-hmm. I've been doing that for years, and we have a life in Eucharist, which is receiving the bread and wine when they're between 6 and 10. So I bring in
Wait,
the Anglican.
They receive, Do they receive wine when they're between 6 and 10?
Yes.
That's great.
Yeah.
Coming from other traditions, it's like we give the, it's not grape juice.
We have the wine. We just dip the wafer bread in the wine and that's how they receive it. That's when I bring in the Anglican roots and the traditions through those teachings in that areas.
Okay, so now you've got, with 20 years experience, lots of examples and lots of stories with this. And for a lot of us, it can feel like, whoa, is that a big shift for students to go from traditional youth ministry experience to this confirmation, Sunday morning experience. I want to caveat it though, because everybody that's listening, I would suggest that there are probably as many traditions in our own settings, no matter which setting you're coming from, even if it's of course not Anglican, there are still a lot of traditions that we're needing to onboard students into that we don't even recognize. So it's just perhaps more apparent in this Anglican tradition. But tell me, what is it like taking a student from youth group as being their experience to this different expression of faith? What happens
there? Okay. Like I said, some of the kids in my youth group are from the church. They grew up in the church. They come on a Sunday morning. So they know the structure and the order. The ones who are from the community, I have to have a relationship with the parents, which I do have strong relationships with parents.
Oh, that's good. Okay, let's just hold there for a second. So you were connecting, you're doing ministry with the student, but you're saying it's essential to also connect and know who their parents are.
Yeah, because they're the ones who have to drive them.
Yeah, fair enough.
but it's like the youth group is open for anyone, and usually it's friends of the church kids who come.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're completely random that come into the church or for youth group. So I have to build a relationship with the parents, just kind of see like where the parents are, because I also like to try to help families. I've done family ministry within my group as well. Like I've done some stuff I learned from different conferences I attend. There's like a takeout church where you get a little box with flat Jesus and different prayers and different family things you can do during the summer. Like I've done that, and I've done that for families that are not part of the church, and different examples as well. But it's that invitation. Oh, well, we have a family service coming up, or a regular or normal 10:30 service. Why don't you come in on a certain Sunday? We have a special thing.
A special family service?
We have a monthly family service at the church where the youth kind of take over. They read all the prayers. They read all the psalms. Sometimes they do some of the music. We have like a little, what we call a worship wheel, where they kind of spin a wheel and it lands on the different prayer that we do. So it's something a little bit different. That gets the kids involved in the service because they kind of take it on their own.
Once a month you have a family service where kids, students get a chance to participate. Are they like just the Christian kids that are from the church, or are you including like even kids that are been a part of your youth group?
I include from a youth group. What we do is we have a Sunday school. So we have like a Sunday school family service. So they lead it. Sometimes my Kingdom Come will lead the next month. And then I'll invite all the kids from my youth group and I get them a job. They can ring our bell. They can spin the worship wheel. They can carry the cross on the service. They can do a reading or a prayer. If you ask them, and they say yes, that brings their families in, maybe just once a month. And sometimes it snowballs that they come weekly or semi-monthly, or they come every family service, like, or special occasions, like you see them at Christmas or Easter. Like you kind of start with the baby steps. Mm-hmm. And then they're just part of our church family. That's why I try to bridge like the families for my youth group into our church family and for different events.
Okay, so I'm still intrigued by the worship wheel, but I'm going to leave that one. And then there's some people that will ask questions, and we'll get a picture of it somewhere. But this is great. Family service, kids are in your youth group. They're not yet fully connected. So you're building a bridge to your Sunday morning expression to the rest of your church by involving them right away with a key element of the service. That's fascinating. There's a lot of us listening. We're like, oh gosh, like it's a long process. We don't have that many elements to our service, which is maybe one of the deficits of not having that kind of liturgical experience, is that there aren't as many places where people can plug in and be a part.
Oh yeah, we have about
responsibility.
Yeah, we can have about 6 different kids read, like the gospel reading, the first lesson, the psalm. We have like 3 different we have different family style prayers, which are a little bit simpler because we have kids from 6 to 17 who can read, so we try to get different levels. When we do communion, our minister does a more question answer communion prayer instead of having the traditional prayers that he uses. So we try to incorporate an easier way, and the sermon is usually like 5 to 10 minutes. Sometimes I lead it, sometimes I've interviewed some youth on stage. Some youth are from the community that the congregation has no idea who they are, and I'm introducing them to. Sometimes it's just our minister talking on a kid-friendly topic that for everyone to listen to in the shorter version. So we try to make it fun and interesting. And another thing as well was my church has an indoor play park, like the play structure like you have at McDonald's in my church.
Cool.
So we opened that up on family services for the families to enjoy and the kids to enjoy after. So we're not a typical Anglican church.
Yeah, no, I love that. Well, here's what I want people to catch is that there's obviously unique challenges to having the more traditions, but I'm intrigued by that in terms of the involvement. No, so just tell us, like, you've done this long enough. Does it actually work? Like when you allow students to participate so early on, does that actually draw them into faith, or do they just view it as like a checkbox? Oh, I have to go and do this.
I think a little bit of both. Some kids, like, they've grown up in the church and they just, some of them get involved later on for different things. Other ones, it's just more like for the community, it just kind of gets them through the door. And just kind of say, oh, well, this is what the church service is like. And they're still coming on Tuesday nights for the youth group. So there's some draw that they're coming. So I think it's a little bit of both.
Is there any time that you have to take for those new families or for those new kids and explain how the service works, or explain why you do it? I know you referenced at the start kind of at the beginning, you know, you were getting a little bit bored as a kid, but then when you understood the tradition and the history to it, it kind of drew you in. Do you have opportunities? Where would people experience or learn that?
Our church offers like Alpha and different small groups and stuff that parents can be involved. When I teach confirmation, it's not just youth. I have parents and adults involved too. My last session, I had a mother and 2 daughters.
Yeah.
And a mother and her son and daughter. Some were in the community, some were part of the church. So like and they learn it through there as well. So there is some opportunity, maybe not on a weekly basis, but I'm always open for questions and stuff too. Like they could always ask me anytime or anything.
Yeah. Well, so part of the reason why we had to have this conversation, obviously, is I want to affirm that we've got folks from all sorts of different faith traditions that are part of the youth worker community across our country, Canada, beyond. So like the work that you're doing, Jason, but the work in these other places, like, makes an eternal difference. I think though, for those of us that aren't in liturgical settings, we're learning more from this because I don't know if we would, I would say, just knowing a lot of my evangelical friends, like that we have great spaces to allow students to participate in that kind of profound way. And then even if we have spaces where we can help people understand faith and explain faith in the way that you might experience in confirmation. Now, I don't know exactly what's in your confirmation curriculum, but I'm assuming there's some robustness to it. And so for us, in some ways, if we haven't thought about how do we bridge students into an adult faith, the miss is that we just keep teaching them their adolescent faith and hoping that something levels them up to the next spot, that something happens, but it's not intentional, that levels them into the rest of the church experience or levels them up in terms of their understanding of their own faith. But you've got two key markers, this confirmation class and these family services where students get to participate, that are really turning the dial on trying to help those students, your students, level up their faith in the sense, not like that it's better, but in the sense that it's now they're taking more steps. And I think that's really profound. I think that's a good word for us, even across the country, no matter what our ministry is.
And I'm a teacher. I'm a full-time teacher. I teach middle school English. And I create most of my content. And I used to do Sunday school. Like, I was the main Sunday school coordinator for a few years. I designed my own 3-year curriculum that incorporated all the stories of the Bible, Anglican roots, and then gave them to transition, help them transition that to go into the service when they age out of Sunday school and be familiar with the prayers, be familiar with the traditions. We don't do that so much right now, but that I had 3 years of that, and some of that youth, you know, some are still there, some are my first group of youth group, I have some of them, one's now a leader with me, some of them are graduating university, like, I'm getting old. I've seen a lot of my youth, like, some of them are not, maybe not attend our church per se, but they attend another church or a different denomination. My goal is not to make Anglicans. That's not my overall goal. My goal is to create lifelong Christians, followers. So if they follow through the Anglican way, fantastic. If they want to go to a Baptist church or to a Catholic church, no. To me, whatever floats your boat in the way, like, if whatever you need to draw closer, they get you draw closer to Jesus. That's my goal right there.
Oh, like, thank you so much.
Like, yes, I'm an Anglican. That's how I follow my faith. That's how I kind of express my faith. But that doesn't mean I have to force my youth that come through my doors. Oh, you're in an Anglican youth group. You have to do the Anglican way. That's not how I do it. It's Jesus first. Our model in the church is Jesus in the community for the community. Mm-hmm. Like, we are Jesus focused. We worship this way or through this expression, and we would love you to join us.
I love that so much.
But there's many different ways to worship and to express yourself to God.
Yep. Okay, well, Jason, on that note, I'm going to bring us to a close. But what I want to say to everybody listening is that if this has sparked either more questions or ideas, or even just the idea that we would speak to those that are in these types of contexts, please, please, please reach out. And certainly I'll put my contact in the info in the show notes. And if you've got questions for Jason, just let me know and I can connect the dots there. But I love, obviously, what you're doing, man. It's so cool. But I also appreciate the longevity that you've got, and that longevity has given you a sense of confidence in knowing just the significance of the work, and that you've got a couple of these great ideas that I think are wonderful and we should be thinking about, so that we as youth workers are bridging students from our ministries into that Sunday morning, into their faith as an adult. And I just love your intentionality on that. Any last words that you'd have for youth workers across our country and beyond?
I just want to say, like, this is some of the advice I've been getting from the conferences and stuff. Like, you make an eternal difference. Like, this is something I've been doing for almost 20 years. I love every minute of it. I'm not saying it's easy. And as a volunteer youth minister, I'm doing this for the youth. Like, I put my heart and soul into everything I try to do. And it's sometimes, when you are doing something for so long, you're saying, am I actually making a difference? And I've planted the seed, I've seen it grow, and I've seen it blossom. Mm-hmm. So I would just say, stick with it, because God will show things to you that can surprise you and inspire you as well.
It's great. Well, appreciate your time, man. Really, really, really do think that these are such cool ideas. And so looking forward to the impact that it has. And to everybody listening, we'll see you back here next time for another conversation on the Volunteer Youth Worker.